my message is going to be on making preparations, readying ourselves for that day, readying ourselves for that great day. In Ecclesiastes 12, verses 11 through 14, he says, "The words of the wise are like goads. Their collected sayings are like firmly embedded nails given by one shepherd." Verse 12, "Be warned, my son, of anything in addition to them. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study wearies the body." I never knew that was in there before. It says, "Be warned, my son, of anything in addition to them." And he's referring to the words in the previous verse. "The words of the wise are like goads. Their collected sayings are like firmly embedded nails given by one shepherd," which is God. So he says to take care that we don't add anything to that. Take any books or any studies that adds on and makes the Bible be something that's less than complete. Nothing wrong with learning and reading books that, but always have to remember the Quran, the Book of Mormon. Those are all books that are supposedly in addition to and completing the Bible. It's not so. The Bible is complete in itself. Then verse 13 says, "Now that all has been heard, here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." If we could figure that one out, it's as simple as that. Fear God and keep His commandments. It says this is the whole duty of man. This is all God expects out of you, is to fear Him and to keep His commands. Fear God, keep His commands. And then verse 14 says, "For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil." Every one of us will be judged. There will become a day, and I don't know how God's going to do that with all the people, but every one of us will be judged for our good, for our bad, for the things we did do, and for the things we didn't do, I guess. So it is a serious matter, and it seems as time goes on, it's getting closer to that day. And this week I was really made mindful of it when thinking of Ruth Hershberger and her prognosis with pancreatic cancer. What a shock that is, to be given a death sentence, as it were, save a miracle from God. Brother Gary was the same thing. I mean, it was like 2 weeks' time that he found out until his body was in the ground. But, you know, I think of Gary and I'm like, in a sense, I'm kind of envious of him. And I haven't been keeping up with it too much, but I have been seeing some of the news flashes on it. And this terrorist group, I think it's the ISIS. Boy, do you think any of those people that are involved when being persecuted would bemoan the fact that they would just die? I don't think so. For the torture and the awful, God-awful things that is being done to them, I can imagine them saying, "Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Just come, right now." And if you've been keeping up with it, you know some of the things that they're saying. I'm not even going to say it in here because it's just, it's so gruesome of what they're doing to Christians. And really, they're not even giving them a good option. You know, they can supposedly pay their way to be let go, but even that's not, that's a false hope. Those people, those Christians, know what they're going to have to stand for. They know who they believe in. They know what it means to trust this God, this King, this Lord, this Master, whatever we want to call Him, the different names that we can give our God. Where am I at? What am I doing in preparation for that great day? Rick and Kim, do y'all want to come up and give us a little bit of an update of what you've experienced while in Florida?
I'll go first here. When Jerry asks us, I guess my mind goes to a whole bunch of different things and don't really know what to say and this and that. And you know, when Dwayne's were down there, and Elvin's, I think, some of the questions they ask us, well, what have you learned since you're here? And so I ain't going to even answer that because I really don't know how to answer that, to be honest. I told him I might have an answer when we come back, but I still don't. Just thinking back of when we first left, just different things that were going through my mind, I guess. I mean, we felt we were supposed to go, and so we were at peace with that. And some of my concerns were, you know, the children and the wife, Kim here, what are they going to be doing while I go do my thing and the Choice Book Ministry there? And those were some of the current concerns I had, I guess. I came to find out pretty quickly that was nothing to be concerned about, because the kids did wonderful with meeting new friends. And I mean, I would say that they had more of an impact on the community there than doing the books. You don't really see the results or whatever, you know. But it was a good time. And I just want to say thanks to the church here too for supporting us as we went different things. And our lives will be different, or we'll always remember this time that we had to go and do this. Not saying that we wouldn't ever do it again. I don't know, but just different people there, I guess, too. You know, we have the first couple months there too, I guess I'll go into this a little bit. We knew we were supposed to be there, but the first couple months, I don't know how many times I laid in bed and I would say, "Hun, I have to do this a year." You know, I'm like, I'm a country boy living in this gated community. It was different. But then after couple months, you know, halfway through, you know, you get used to things and getting in a routine and stuff. And then anyway, we got to enjoy it there and met people and different things. And then coming home, I told her, and over asked her, I was like, you know, 12 months ago I was thinking of this time right now, of coming home, how it would feel, how good it would feel or whatever. And it did feel good, but yet, I don't know, it felt, just because of the different people around that we met there, it felt kind of like you were abandoning them a little bit. Because you don't really realize how much they appreciate you until they find out you're leaving. And then we have this one African American that we came to know or whatever, and she was fussing me out for taking my family back. We got to know some people, and it was a good time. And again, I just say thanks for everything.
Mm-hmm.
I know for the kids and Kim and them, it was hard for them. I know we kept saying stuff to the kids, you know, a month or a few weeks before we come home, ask if they're ready, and they weren't. They, a couple times, Brandon, one night he started crying in his bed, you know, his friends there. And it's totally different because you go outside, and I called it this is kind of how it went. We come home, and or in the evenings, we eat supper, and we'd watch Wheel of Fortune at 7 o'clock. But and then after Wheel of Fortune, I know, I'm old school, I like Wheel of Fortune. But then the kids would go out, and people would just come out. Me and Josh would sometimes stay inside because the mosquitoes would get him like crazy. But I called it there about halfway through, we started calling it the sidewalk ministry. But people would, all you have to do is go out, and we had a Cuban lady that would come sit on our bench with them, with her kids, and Haitian lady too, up the road.
Haitian kids.
And the African American and
Cambodian
and the Nicaraguans. Those were probably the Nicaraguans where he lived there since he was like 14 or 15, I think, in the States. He's been in the States, and then they got married. And so she's been over here for 8 years, and they were probably the ones we talked to most. They, we actually went and watched fireworks with them down at the race, the Homestead Speedway. And I think that was the first time. I mean, they don't have no friends. They really don't. And that was the first time that I think they had ever, in 8 years that they lived there, I think, that they had ever really gone out with people. And we got a card and stuff from them when we left, and they say they're going to come visit us. I don't know if they will or not, but they make their rounds. They get around, but anyway.
Yeah, I'm just a little, I guess, moving, and I haven't, haven't taken the time too much to think about actually having left. It was difficult to leave, and I wish you could have all just come and spent a weekend with us, or a week or something. Then, because it's hard to even explain or understand. You know, it's hard to explain really. It was nothing glamorous that we did, or nothing out of the ordinary. To sit here and try to explain what we did, well, we just did life. We just did life. Me and the children were home and spent time outside, and the people came. You know, it's not like, I don't really know what else to say other than that, because that's really what we did. But to, in other words, God calls us to live life for His honor and glory. And it sounds so simple and so whatever, but to see that's really all we did, and to see the results of that, that is not a simple calling. That's a profound calling. I like the word Rick used. It feels kind of like we're abandoning them. Because the Nicaraguan family, the wife, it tore her up to see us leave, and that was hard to see. But she really, I mean, she doesn't have any other friends. I mean, she lived there for 8 years, and just culture. She doesn't speak English very well, and all that. You know, I don't know. We were really the first friends that they had ever had as a family. Their son is 8, and him and Brandon were good buds. And a child's perspective on it is so, it just kind of puts everything in perspective. And on the one hand, Brandon made a comment after we were with, there was one family from church that we spent some time with, and we left them for the last time. And he said, well, we'll see them in heaven again someday. And then on the other hand, Erica sharing concerns about... Erica sharing concerns about her. Her friends that don't know Jesus. And you know there's hope. You know there's hope. But when you see the family life, the lack of family life, the shouting, it's like I want to stay there. I want to bring them home. But I know, and we've discussed this with the children too, that we were there for a season. They showed Jesus to them. They really did. And God's still there. Just because we left, God didn't leave. And, yeah, it will be. It has been a life-changing year for us, and yeah, it will be good. It is good to be here this morning, but leaving is hard. And it will be good to be back here and figure out, you know, what God wants us to do with our experiences and how He wants us to live that out here. So that's that.
All right, we're going to shoot two birds with one stone here. We also like to be a part, I guess. We haven't received a covenant.
Oh, yeah.
But we plan on signing it. So we'd like to, I guess my three tattoos I got this year won't do nothing with that. All right, okay.
It'll be reported that now we're shooting birds in the service. Thank you, Rick and Kim, so much. We kept wanting to go down there before we did. But every time we'd want to go down, it worked for us while someone else was going, it seemed. And so I was glad for the opportunity that we had to go down there at the end there and to move them back and to see how really they did interact with the other people. I won't hold you long here this morning. But just, again, just share a little bit with my thoughts with Rick and Kim of their interaction. There was blacks immediately next door on their right. Nicaraguans immediately next door on the left. There's a Cubans five doors down. There's other blacks across the street. And then there's Papa... that was like William, that was about five or six doors down to the right. And it was just, I was like, what a tailor-made way of doing missions. There was none of this fear of, that this might be Jehovah's Witness knocking on your door, because it was the kids going out and interacting just on a day-by-day basis. And, you know, you kind of think that Rick's went down for Rick to do a year of service with Choice Books, but it's almost like Choice Books venue was sort of a side note. It was just a vehicle to get him down there. And I had a chance to speak the one evening, well, two evenings there with the Nicaraguan couple, with him, with the man. And it was just so interesting because I started talking to him, and then we had good conversation, just talking. And then the second night, they had, she wanted to have the Nicaraguan lady wanted to have a party, wanted to have cake and fruit punch drinks. So they set that up out on the sidewalk at 7:30, and so him and I talked in. But again, it's like, we stood there for a while, and it was like, none of us talked, him and I. And then I just started asking him just a little bit about himself, and that just opened up, and he started talking again. And it's so simple, if we can get it in our head, of what it is to do missions, to be, just to be there. And that's exactly what Kim and the kids were doing. They were just there. And the people seen, there's something different going on with this family and in this apartment. And it gave them opportunity as time went on. There was no pressure to say, you know, let me knock on your door and let me come in and talk to you about something. It was all sidewalk ministry. They even got T-shirts from the one family with the two kids' names or pictures embossed on the front of them. And they gave that to them. Was that on Tuesday night or Wednesday night also? But they had took the time to took some pictures and took them somewhere and had T-shirts made and gave it to each one of the Rick and Kim's kids as a memory of who they are. You know, had their names and their pictures, an actual photo. What does it mean to keep God's commandments? Well, as just briefly here in closing, thinking of preparing and readying ourselves to go somewhere. How many of you make a list for different things? Like, when you're ready, maybe getting ready to go on a trip, you make a list. Y'all do that? Or maybe when you've got a job to start, you make a list. When you're getting married, Andrea, I think you probably had some lists. We do that. We make a list. If you would know that you have a death sentence on you, you would probably be a lot more diligent in making a list of what is important. Have I made that list? Have you made that list to ready yourself for that day? When that big day that is just not really a big day because it's just doing this one big job or it's moving to a different location, or it's just getting married, or it's just whatever. We're diligent in making lists for those things. But when that day, that big day, gets close, we start honing in and even eliminating things that might be on that list that say, you know what, ain't going to happen, and I'm not going to do it. It's not going to get done. I'd like to get this done, but it's not going to happen until I run out of time for that big day. So as it gets closer to this big event, we focus not on what needs to be done, but on what must be done. On Tuesday morning, I get up, and then I went over to Bill Martin's. They're not here this morning. They went camping, I think. But he had some lights in his shop that he wanted put up yet, and his shop was dark with had his garage doors up. Anyhow, I went over there at 7 o'clock to hang. He had four lights. And I knew I had till 9 o'clock before I had to leave to go home to get ready to drive to Greenville to get on the airplane to fly to Florida. I had a deadline. And it was like I went there at 7 and it was like no matter what happens, at 9 o'clock I was leaving his shop. Period. It didn't matter what I got done or what I didn't get done. It didn't even matter if I was going to hurt his feelings if I didn't get any lights hung or hooked up by 9 o'clock. I was leaving at 9 o'clock. As it was, we got two lights hung and hooked up. And I'm like, I got to go. He could have even wanted to stand there and talk a while and just discuss the weather and this car he's working on and whatever other thing. But it's like, sorry, dude, I'm in the car. You can call me on the phone, but I'm out the driveway. It didn't matter at that point what he needed or what he didn't need. If I was going to stay, it was going to have to be really important in order for me to miss my flight. Now, granted, in these events that we have, that we focus on, that we have to get done, there are certain things sometimes that supersede the importance of that event, but not often and not much. But we all are going to have, and we all do have, this death sentence on our lives. 10 out of 10 people, studies have shown, will not make it out of this earth alive, except that the Lord comes back. We all are born, we all will die. We just don't know when that will be. Some people, and again, referencing Gary, it was almost, he had an unfair advantage knowing that he had this much time. This was all the time he had. And he focused in what he was going to do in that time. Next Sunday, we could meet back together here, and there could be one or some of you that are not here because you are no longer in this life. We don't know that. But we all have that death sentence hanging on us, that we will leave this earth someday. What will we do? Two weeks ago at the convention, on Sunday morning, I think it was Brother Leon Martin shared, but it really, the one thing he said was, and it really impacted me, was it talks about, you know, where he that will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And he said, I think that was the verse he used, but he used the word himself, but he used the word ourself. And he said, we need to take that word and make it two words. If we're going to take up the cross and follow Christ, we need to deny our self. All the things that I want, the selfish things that I want, the things that I want to get done, we have to deny every one of them if we're going to be followers of Jesus Christ. Ecclesiastes 12 again. Now, all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Then in closing, Philippians 2, 12 through 14 says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and with trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to do according to His good purpose. Do everything without murmuring or complaining, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God. And listen to this next part. In a crooked and a perverse, NIV says, deprived generation. A crooked, perverse, deprived generation. Brothers and sisters, that's where we are this morning in this world that we live in. It is so ungodly. It is so perverse. It says, in King James, it says, as you hold out the word of life. And that's what Rick and Kim were doing. They were holding out. That's why they made such an impact, brothers and sisters, is because they were holding out that word of life. They weren't taking their Bible and knocking on the doors and saying, do you know that you're going to go to hell if you don't? But they were living it. And it was like, what is with these people? There's something going on inside of their hearts. Something has changed drastically in these people's lives as opposed to what's in my life. As you hold out the word of light, I think NIV here says, in which you shine as stars in the universe. As the world gets darker and darker, on a dark night, you can see that one star that's, I don't know how far away, I don't understand all that, but it's way off. And that's how we are going to be, brothers and sisters. That's our hope. We're going to shine brighter and brighter as we reflect Christ's love in our lives as this world gets darker. We don't have to fear the future. We don't have to fear what's going to happen with our lives as we live out and flesh out the gospel of Jesus Christ in a crooked and perverse generation. But we can know that our hope is in Christ. Next Sunday, I want to share on 2 Peter verses 1 through about 10 and then several verses following that. But I want to talk about, there's six things that he talks about in verse 5 and following of goodness and knowledge and self-control and brotherly kindness and love. And this morning, Dwight in our gift study talked about the fruit of the Spirit. He talked about 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, to where we can be and say whatever we want to say, but if we don't have love, it doesn't avail us. And I want to address that next Sunday as we look to see how these different points all sandwich together in goodness and love. Goodness being the first one he's talking about after faith, and then love at the bottom, and with all these other characteristics of a Christian in between. God bless y'all as you go through this next week. Shall we stand for closing prayer? Father in heaven, this morning we do thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace, your righteousness, that we can receive by giving completely of ourselves to you. God, thank you for the way that you move in and through us. God, I pray that your blessing would be upon each one of my brothers and sisters here this morning. And for those that aren't even here today, would you protect them? Would you keep them? Would you guard them? God, I pray that you would help us to be so sold out to you that as we wake up tomorrow morning and think of facing another day, that we would think of what it is that you want me to do, what it is that you want me to say to those people that you're going to send my way. Thank you, God, for who you are. Thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit here with us today. Dismiss us as we leave from here for your honor and glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.